Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, we're 0 for 2 on that front. Ron's fishing somewhere way up north, Lake of the Woods, I believe. Mike Max, parts unknown tonight. So Gary Leaf, Steve Thompson in tonight. Our producer in studio, the Hammer, Craig Schrepfer. Gary, good to see you. It's been a while.
Yeah, good seeing you. I don't know about talking about stable and snowblowers and so on and so forth,
right,
just before we come on the air. Is this moving the direction? I think it's moving. Game Fair is coming up, and we know right around the corner from that is the State Fair, in which you'll play a major role in, as usual, over there at the corn dog stand and the pickle stand and lemonades.
Here's the thing about the fair. I was over there this summer for Back to the 50s on the fairgrounds. And ever since the fair took over Ye Olde Mill, which is just up the hill on Carnes from CCO Radio, I mean, just a couple doors down, it's us, the GOP, and then Ye Olde Mill on Carnes. Right across the street, we got Mancini's and French Meadow, and to our left, we've got Sweet Martha's on that block. So it's a popular block at the fair, as you might expect. But they were tearing into Ye Olde Mill. They took it over from the family that ran it forever. And the fair is going to keep it going, but they're remodeling it. And that mini donut stand right there, you know what I'm talking about.
I mean,
one of the oldies, but the goodies, it wasn't even there.
Really?
And I'm wondering, are they going to bring that back? Did they just move it so they could do work on Ye Olde Mill? Because that's one of my favorite spots on the fair.
Yeah.
I remember that as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Going to that mini donut stand on that corner by Ye Olde Mill.
I remember the stomach aches once in a while, too, leaving. That I was told I would get if I did what I did. But, I don't want to start thinking about that. I mean, I know people who've even got the varieties of corn dogs nailed down. You have to if you're going to be a corn dog connoisseur.
Well, here's the thing, though. I when it comes to going to a ball game, I'm old school. Give me a hot dog and a
common
beer.
Hot dog.
Yeah, or Cracker Jacks. they've got a lot of great food options at Target Field.
Yeah.
But I'm still a hot dog and a beer kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And when it comes to the State Fair, I stick to the main roads. I want a Pronto Pup.
Yep, yep.
And I want the Tom Thumb mini donuts.
Yep.
Now, I've added a couple of new items to my repertoire.
Well,
The Dole Whip's pretty good.
The Dole, what about the lemonade?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's...
But I also like to get a soda from the little stand that looks like the root beer barrel.
Yeah,
you've been by that one.
Oh, yeah.
There's one by the DN. There's a couple of them around the DNR building.
Yeah. Yeah, those are pretty much automatic.
And then I always go and look at the fish.
Yeah.
You know, at the DNR. That's another regular when I get to the fair. So that's coming up. But during the break, before we came on the air, we were talking about it. It does go quick. As you mentioned, Game Fair the next two weekends up at Armstrong Ranch, up in Anoka County. Easy to find, Highway 10 outside of Anoka.
Yeah, and that is an event. If you haven't been to Game Fair, that is an event to really, really go to. The idea originated from Scotland, and they came back and made some improvements and enhancements. And what, 81, 82, somewhere in there, it started getting going. And now it's just a tremendous event, tremendous amount of dogs. I mean, there will be all kinds of dogs.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a warm one for the dogs this weekend. But as we've heard over the years, they've had all kinds of weather. They've had cool and rainy. So it's rain or shine.
Yeah, I've been there when there's been some real difficulties. And this week, I was out at Farm Fest. They had a governor's, a lot of politics swirling about out at Farm Fest. That's quite an event down there. That's the first time I've been to that. We had a governor's forum and so forth. They were talking about the farm bill. They were talking about wolves out there, what's going to happen with that one way or the other. And then they had a big forum on clean water that Dennis Anderson with the Star and Tribune and a bunch of ag groups were talking about trying to figure out some common ground between ag groups, maybe environmentalists, sportsmen, conservationists, and so on to try to move forward. And you live on it, you know, you're aware of, you know, the waters where you live and how important it is and how different it can be over time.
That is amazing, though. When you put some time into it and some effort into it, what can happen if everybody works together? Ever since I was a kid, my mom and dad moved up along the Mississippi River up in the northern suburbs. And now I live in that same neck of the woods along the river. And there's a guy who's lived up there since the late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a chemist by trade. Now he's long retired. And he said, it is amazing in that stretch of river up in northern Hennepin County, Hennepin County, Anoka County border, how much the river has changed for the better over the years.
Yeah, that's an amazing. Of course, we had a big setback with this train derailment biodiesel. Or no, was it biodiesel or just diesel?
Yeah, it was just diesel from the locomotive, I believe, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, that's an obvious setback. But things can improve, like what you're talking about, given enough time and not injection of new things that make it worse or made it worse to begin with. So, they're making a lot of different progress on it and that. And there's always going to be room for improvement on that. That's not an easy problem to fix. And they, when they had the Farm Fest Forum on clean water, it's really hard for even the farmers to go to the array of agencies, federal and state, and be certain that they feel like they're handling the prescription on the ground right. So it's discussions of that. So I think it really opened up. And then there were some people on the Clean Water Council and a number of the ag people. And I think that they recognize that they want to participate in some kind of collaborative way with everybody else and try to deal with some of the groundwater or some of the clean water problems that go on throughout the state.
And it is one of those things, Gary, you spend a lot of time around it, but if you care about issues like clean water and habitat and the outdoors, contact your legislators. Get involved in this process because they do listen.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about it.
It's exactly the opposite, like so many things in life. Legislators here in Minnesota, state legislators, actually don't get that many people contacting them via email or a phone call or personal visit. And I wouldn't be afraid that you don't have to go in there thinking that you have to have a PhD in economics to explain any policy. Just go in there with your practical experience and common sense.
Yeah.
It may be 100% right, half right, somewhere in between, shows you got an interest. And, that stuff matters.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll get into that coming up. Dave Carlson will join us here in a little bit.
Yeah, he's going to talk. He's out at coming back from Farm Fest, and they're hosting this year are going to be having a governor's forum out there at Game Fair on the second weekend. So we'll talk to him and see what he found out about Farm Fest and whatever else he has going on with that governor's forum.
And then we're going to go to the Grand Rapids area and get an update on the fishing.
Yeah, Tom Newstrom, he's a great fishing guide, and he's give us some updates about fishing going on. Haven't got the ice fishing guys. He's not going to give any ice fishing. Of course, people are probably getting ready with the equipment, so they got to convert their trailers back to being ice fishing houses.
Yeah, and for the folks who are wondering how Gary and I got on the subject of snow throwers, is here it is early August, and I said, if it didn't snow for 3 months, I'd be okay. And then Gary was kind of like, how about four?
Yeah, Steve put his foot down on that, too. It wasn't any debating. It was at least going to be three.
Yeah. Early November.
Yeah, exactly.
But then again, those people that make a living with the snow and want the ice,
well, probably
they're going to argue with us.
We're going to get some calls and complaints by Arctic Cat and Polaris and so on and so forth, being negative towards the winter. But we'll handle it.
Yeah, I'll settle for 85 right now. Dew point is 60. North winds at 12 here at CCO. It's still August. We got plenty of time for that other stuff. 7:17 it is, live outdoors. Gary Leaf in for Ron tonight here on the CCO. Mike and Ron will return next Monday night, live outdoors next Monday night between 7 and 8. Ron, fishing Lake of the Woods. Mike Max, not sure.
Whereabouts unknown.
Yeah. Like they said in the old days, like the old AWA, they'd bring some guy out, parts unknown.
Yeah, parts unknown.
Mr. Z from parts unknown.
Well, unknown, that was in the good, the bad, and the ugly. That was the name on the grave. What's there's no name on it? He goes, unknown, there's no name on it. Yeah. That's what Tuco? Tuco said unknown.
Right. All right, let's get back to the outdoors. Gary Leifin for Ron tonight here on CCO. We got a good guest.
Yes, we do. We got Dave Carlson on. He's with MOHA, which is a coalition of outdoor-related groups. And they're going to be up at Game Fair. But for right now, you're just coming back or have been over at Farm Fest, Dave.
Hey, that is right. Gary, Steve, thanks for having me on.
What did you see out at Farm Fest and what was going on out there?
Well, I was out there working my day job, so it's obviously ag-related.
Yeah, that's right. You work for a well-known company in that field and a variety of others. So you see anything else of any interest on the outdoor stuff? Or
I didn't see anything out there. I did talk to some people about clean water and what the ag industry, the technology is changing and how they're trying to do a better job with some of the byproducts of the ag industry.
Yep. They had a forum.
I'm not an expert at that.
Yeah, that's a very, I don't know if anybody is, even the experts, very complicated subject. They did have a forum at Farm Fest yesterday that just dealt with clean water, and they had Dennis Anderson was on there, a person with the Clean Water Council, some of the different ag-related groups. Now, you've got Game Fair coming up on, what is the date of the Game Fair Governors Forum?
It's August 18th, it's Saturday, it's at 1 p.m., the main stage. And we're doing that along with the outdoor news.
Yeah, now the right now the all the candidates, governor's candidates, are in the middle of a pitched battle within their own parties for the primary. You've got Jeff Johnson and Tim Pawlenty on the Republican side, and you've got Aaron Murphy and Lori Swanson and Tim Walz. I hope I didn't forget anybody there. I don't think so. In a pitch battle over there. So have you gotten any initial commitments at this point? I think they probably all have booths, but have they committed to being there the next weekend? It's kind of hard for them to know for sure, but
hard for them to know for sure. And what I would say is that we have gotten some feedback that they have set that time aside.
Okay. Now, what kind of issues do you think you're going to want to discuss out there?
Well, we've got a lot of issues we want to talk about. Obviously, MOHA is very interested in the Legacy Amendment and the Outdoor Heritage Fund. Over the last couple of years, there's been some challenges to that. And we had the last governor, Governor Dayton, was a great supporter of the Outdoor Heritage Fund. And so that's an issue that we will ask about. But what's important to sportsmen across the state, aquatic invasive species, chronic wasting disease, the Mille Lacs fishery, and public lands. Public lands is very important to the sportsmen across the state. You know, MOHA has, we have statewide meetings, a couple of three, maybe even four every year. And some of the top issues that come up at those meetings, number one, always number one, is the Outdoor Heritage Fund. Not too far behind it is public lands and public land access. So that's important. And you know, Gary, there has been some resistance to acquiring public land down at the legislature over the last couple of sessions. And it's important to the sportsmen and women, the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, there's been some resistance to the whole thing right from the get-go over the 10 years. The first year of the bill, I think the first year they took, Phyllis took Senator Lessard's name off the council, so we had that one going on, and something every year with it and so on. The big thing with it is that when you put citizen over legislators, or not over them, but a separate system of people without election certificates, they're not that excited about it, so it creates some turmoil. But that was to be expected, and it's worth it because $100 million a year. What other kind of issues? Farm Fest, there's been some discussions about the wolf issue. There's a bill in the Congress that's passed in the House and an appropriations bill to delist the wolf. What are you hearing on that?
Well, what we hear is that obviously we support professional management of all of our wildlife, and that would include the wolf. So, you know, we support, and we hope that the next governor would support our Minnesota DNR having a wolf management plan.
Yeah, we did have a season, I think I want to say 2012 maybe, was when that was passed, and that was in there for maybe a year or 2 years. I can't even recall now. And then, of course, there was a court ruling that put it back on the endangered species list. There's been some support. Senator Klobuchar, Representative Colin Peterson have been at the forefront of Minnesota legislators who are a support congressional action instead of bouncing back and forth with the courts of delisting the wolf. So it's got, and it's a, to be fair, it's a controversial topic. You know, in northern Minnesota, they have the wolves and moose and so on and so forth. What kind of things interest you on upcoming at the Game Fair? What are you going to be looking for?
Well, we've member groups obviously to find out what is interesting for them, and you know they've really it's all about conservation, and then the right to access areas to hunt and fish.
Yeah, that's a huge. You know, on the AIS, I mean, that one been a subject of much, articles and so on, where you run into access problems with boat ramps and so on, and that's probably going to pop up. I mean, how long do we anticipate this debate to last? An hour?
It's 1 hour time limit, yes.
I think you could spend an hour just on Mille Lacs.
You are right there. That is a very... hot topic for sure. And, you know, we've been dealing with that. We've been talking to people over, well, how long has that issue been going on?
99.
And really that it's become a political issue, right? Because common sense doesn't seem to rule there.
Yeah, it's a very complex situation because of the co-management arrangement. A lot of criticism of that, concern over it. I'm not sure if there's certainly not a simplistic remedy to solve the problems there, but there's always hope that somebody can figure out a way and path forward on it. So, Dave, we want to really thank you for being on the show tonight, and we're going to have to keep up. People are going to have to watch what happens with this governor's forum. We don't even know for sure who's going to be up there. That'll be news in and of itself. Because there's no guarantee in politics, that's for sure.
Well, I'll tell you this. I appreciate you having me on tonight. And we are prepared in the event nobody comes. We're going to turn that into a venue to talk about what's important to the sportsman and then bring that to the legislature.
All right, that sounds good. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you guys for having me on.
All right, there he is, Dave Carlson, once again from the Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance. And their website, if you're wondering, moha-mn.org. So you can find out more about that group. And, of course, once again, Farm Fest and that big governor's forum, I would assume some of the gubernatorial candidates are going to show up.
Somebody's going to want that constituency and want that vote.
Absolutely.
You know, they're it's on the radar screen. That's for sure. You know, we have our own outdoor news, outdoor columnists around the state. We've got radio shows. We've got outdoor celebrities. It's a big outdoor state. You know, second, third in angling, sixth, seventh, tenth, somewhere in there on hunters. It's a $4 billion industry. Going on. We've got manufacturers, boat manufacturers, tackle, Hollywood of the North guys, up there. So there's a lot. It's hard to escape once you get out of downtown Minneapolis that there's a lot of outdoors-related activities, even here in the metro.
7:32 here at CCO. It is live outdoors each and every week. Late in the week this week, we had Twins games Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. Of course, Twins fall on a matinee, 5-4, the final game of the four-game set. On to Detroit in a three-game series with the Tigers beginning tomorrow night here on CCR. Pregame actually gets started at 5:30 on Friday afternoon here on the home of the Twins. We'll have the weather in a moment and more with Gary and Live Outdoors here on CCO.
Radio.com.
7:38, 22 minutes now in front of 8 here at CCO. Ron Scher is away. Mike Max is away. Live Outdoors returns Monday night. Twins are idle. And we'll be on the air Monday night between 7 and 8 here on CCO. And I'm not sure yet if Ron's going to be back in time for the Monday night show, but let's assume so. And I'm sure he's going to have a lot of stories from Lake of the Woods. He was looking forward to this trip.
Yeah. Some of them might even be true. We'll have to try to sift through them and figure that out.
Well, he's got to bring photos. He's got to show us those big fish.
We want, it's got to be confirmed.
That's right.
We want confirmation. We want evidence. We haven't gone to the forensic level yet.
We want video. We want photos.
And we've got people astute enough here in the studio that can easily ascertain if it's photoshopped.
You know, and I would think Ron at this point in time would say, my reputation precedes me.
Yeah.
I don't need photos.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if I say I caught big fish, I caught big fish.
Yeah, well.
But he was pretty optimistic. And, you know, the funny thing is, when I was in and Ron gave us a preview of this trip, you know, Lake of the Woods is so reliable. It's a long haul from the cities. I mean, we're talking 6 solid hours.
They just came out with their lake plan a bit ago, and I'm not sure exactly what the status was of it. It sounded like they had agreement there, and then I read it in the newspaper that people disagreed with it. But talking to the people, some of the people that were involved with it up there, they did have some agreement to cut back on fishing a little bit there. That's a tremendous fisheries. Obviously.
Oh.
And
summer and winter.
Yeah, summer and winter. And they get a tremendous amount of, people all over fishing an array of fish up there. So.
Yeah. Hey, you brought up Mille Lacs earlier with Dave Carlson from the Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance. You know, you brought up how long this thing has been in the headlines. It has been in the news for a long, long time. And, you know, Gary, you made a good point. Hopefully, at some point, there'll be some sort of agreement on how to manage this and give people an idea year to year what to expect out of Mille Lacs. But it seems like now every year it's kind of like, oh, we're not going to be able to take fish this year. We're not.
Yeah, if there was a person in the state that might be able to have a remedy for Mille Lacs, he's on the phone with us right now.
Yeah, there you go.
Tom Newstrom from the Grand Rapids area. Have you got a fix for us on Mille Lacs, Tom?
I wish I did.
Yeah,
being on a committee is it's been frustrating.
Yeah, I know it has. But, I mean, it's sad for the businesses. It's sad for the whole circumstance.
Tom, I wanted to jump in and just ask something really straightforward. If you could wave a magic wand, if it was up to you in your experience in being on this advisory group, what would the way forward be for Mille Lacs if it was up to you?
Well, what I would like to see is some type of harvest. I mean, we're at that point now where the numbers are good. I think that it's a total get together with the tribe, and you have to, that's the soft part about it. That's the hard part about it. But I think the numbers are there, and I think that looking at where we are today, where we didn't have to have a closure, and I think that the numbers are basically there for us to have a harvest, but let's see what happens. And I think as a committee member, I know I'm going to, the next time I go to a meeting, I'm going to recommend it for next year. And I think that probably everybody on the committee will be like that. And we're sitting here with the third year of non-harvest and the numbers are looking good. And I think that hopefully down the road that we can look at this for next year of doing something. And, is it a bad thing that we're conserving the fishery? Yes and no. But I'll tell you right now, I think that people deserve a harvest.
What about the, number of people have suggested, like, you know, to allow them one fish, that type of thing. Does that work up against the – explain how that might work up against the ice fishing. That's a tough call. Let's say if they were given, you know, an increased harvest during one season, the time of the year where they really rely on fishing almost exclusively is in the wintertime, or am I wrong on that?
Well, I think the winter is important, but I don't think it's the total – I mean, when you look at May, June, and July, I think there's more anglers actually out there fishing, hopefully, you know, looking for down the road have a harvest. But I think the winter fishery is important, too. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
You know, you have both fisheries there. So, you know, the winter fishery is very important to people, and but so is the open water fishery.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what really
– But you know what? You look at how many fish houses are out in the last, and you know what? It's kind of cool when you think to yourself, and I'm not saying that I like it, but when you think to yourself, what's going to happen if they open that fishery up for harvest? These people are coming when there's no harvest, and then they can have one in the winter. But what if they open it up for harvest? How many people are going to come? I think it's going to be really good for the area. And when we look at Red Lake from years ago, when they were going there for two by the hundreds and hundreds of people, I think people want to catch fish. They want to bend the rod, keep a couple to eat. And I think that's all they want.
Yeah.
I really, truly believe that.
I would say that still represents about 80% of anglers.
Sure.
You know, I don't think it's, you know, maybe as high as it used to be because there's been a change, you know, with catch and release and so on and the you know, bass fishing and the like and people that specialize in that. But still, you know, there's something Norman Rockwell-ish about catching a fish and having it, eating it, you know.
Well, I don't want people to take the wrong impression of this, but I don't want Minnesota to turn into a total bass state either.
Yeah.
You know, we are a walleye destination. We have been for as long as we can turn back the hands of time.
Yeah.
And bass fishing has really helped us out a lot to try to communicate a different species to catch and release, and you know, it's a viable resource.
Yeah,
but I don't want people to think that that's what we want to do is turn this lake turn the state into a bass fishing total commodity, because it can't be that way. This is what Minnesota is built around, is walleyes.
Yeah,
and we have to figure a way to solve the problem.
And we've had these problems, fisheries related problems, on Red Lake, Leech Lake.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Leech Lake seems like it's moving out of it. I mean, when it was really, well, how long ago was that? 10 years ago? Roughly 10 years ago is when they were right in the tank at its worst point. And boy, the word of mouth got out about that quickly. And it really hurt the businesses, hurt everything around there.
And, you know, and I'm on that committee too. And we really came back with a good stocking program recommended by the committee with the DNR. And it really helped to bring the lake to a really good point. But there again, now they're going through a change, and they want to go to a four fish with one over 20. And so they want to change that regulation a little bit. You know, we can't have these lakes with too many big fish in it and not enough fish to keep to take home, you know. So we run into that on some bodies of water. But, you know, it's really a complex problem. But, you know, a lot of us are working on it with the DNR. We're very patient, but sometimes your patience runs a little thin, but, you know, I'm willing to wait, but I just want to make sure that we're looking at doing some type of harvest in the future on Mille Lacs. That's one of the goals that I have as a committee member.
Yeah, I think that's gotten loud and clear. How's the fishing going for you with taking out some of the people you're taking out?
It's been a little off. You know, I can tell you it's been a little off. I'm going to be totally honest with you. It's been decent, but I don't think it's been as good as years past. I think the weather has got a lot to do with it. I think that we ran into a little problem this year with the hot weather that came really, really fast. And then all of a sudden it cooled off, and then the hot weather came back. And then we had this big cold front 2 weeks ago, and it shut a lot of fishing down for about a week or so. It's starting to come back a little bit, but it's been a little tougher this year, I think. You know, and that's an honest opinion. I don't think anybody will tell me that it's been off the charts. Lake of the Woods has been really good, but, you know, a lot of other places have just been off a little bit.
It seemed like June was almost like an August. I remember thinking, this feels more like August than it does June.
Yeah, it was hot.
It was right up there with what it's what it's been now. And then you're right, we had that big cooling off period and so on. So are you hitting more lakes because it's a little bit off, or
yes.
you okay?
Yes.
And is
yeah.
it pretty much the case that it's not a heck of a lot of different, maybe slightly better moving about, or what's your thoughts on that?
I think it's better moving around a little bit, and we're fishing a lot of shallow stuff. We're fishing weeds a lot, pulling spinners, and it's been a real good contact point for us because of the fact that a lot of people don't understand when that water hits like 74 to 78 degrees, a lot of the deeper fish, and I'm not talking, you know, 80, 90 feet of water. I'm talking fish that are out in 30, 35 feet. There's a little bit of depletion in oxygen, and a lot of them will push into cabbage weeds, and they'll stay there pretty much all season, all the way to the fall. So we've really dialed into a lot of shallow presentations. And I know a lot of people get kind of aggravated. Well, I don't want to fish the weeds. They get stanked up. It's all about speed, control, looking for the fish where we think they are. And I think history has told us that these fish will leave the deep water if there's no oxygen.
Yeah.
Food. So they'll come shallow. And I think the last 4 or 5 years, we've really caught a lot of fish shallow. And it kind of dictates where these fish will be this time of year when the water's so warm.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I really want to appreciate the information on Mille Lacs. It's a tough situation. You've been in it. How long have you been on that advisory committee?
Well, 3 years.
Ever 3 years.
The new committee got formed. And you know what? We're all working together really hard. And I think, you know, there's just a lot of conviction from the people on that committee. We are all in it for the long haul. There's nobody walking away from this. We're in it to make this thing work and work with everybody together, not only the community, but, you know, you got to work with a lot of different factions.
Yep.
And it takes a lot of patience. And we do, and hopefully we're going to bring this thing back to where it needs to be, and there'll be people that will be able to take a fish home now and then.
All right. Tom Newstrom from the Grand Rapids area. Well-known fishing guide. He's on the Mille Lacs citizen panel looking at that, and we really want to thank you.
Well, thanks for having me, and you know, best of luck to you guys.
All right, thanks.
All right, there he is, Tom Newstrom, one of the more well-known guides here in the state of Minnesota and a regular contributor to Live Outdoors. Gary Leave in for Ron Sherritt tonight. 10 minutes now in front of 8 o'clock here at CCO. Both of those gentlemen are awake. Gary Leave, Steve Thompson in studio. Our producer, Craig Schrepfer, thanks so much for joining us. Let's go to the phone lines. Joe in Prior Lake, beautiful part of the world, joins us on the line. Joe, what do you got?
Well, you know, I've heard that I'm a Ducks Unlimited guy, and I've heard, you know, our organization has benefited from that Lazard Sam's Heritage funding or console that they call it. I've heard that money for the outdoors might be in jeopardy in this upcoming election. Do either of you guys know about that?
All right. Well, Gary, you've been on the front lines for a long, long time in this thing. What do you know about it?
The money is always in jeopardy. It's a session-by-session operation. When they get to game fair, certainly once the candidates emerge out of the primary, they will be asking them their positions on this. And we have Senator Lazard out there, who was running for attorney general at 87, pushing, you know, for the integrity of the fund. So there's a lot of scrutiny and eyeballs on that, in particular the Outdoor Heritage Fund.
All right, Gary, you've been around this thing for a long, long time and understand the ins and outs. How can that be? People went, they voted, it's a constitutional amendment. How could a governor or a legislature toy with this thing?
Well, we have other things that outdoors folks know about, which is the right to keep and bear arms, and there's a continual disagreement about what that meant and means every year. So some legislators interpret the Constitution in one way, and others interpret it in another way. And the Lazard Council makes annual recommendations to the legislature, can't directly spend. So when those that's where the dispute gets up. Some legislators like more public land, some legislators like less public land, and it's a mixture and it's a balance. We did it deliberately to come through every year so that people were aware of what's going on with the thing. And so far, for 10 years in a row, we've gotten 100% of the funding pretty much the way we needed it. It's put a lot of money, you know, $800 million so far. Hundreds of millions in public land investments. So it's been a struggle. I think one of the most difficult years was Governor Dayton vetoed Phyllis Kahn's efforts. That was intra-party a circumstance where she tried to arrange or sought to arrange and so on and so forth. And that's the way it is. I mean, it's constitutionally dedicated, but the legislators have different ideas on where that money could be spent.
All right, and we said it when I was sitting in for Mike Maddox with Ron. We'll say it again tonight. Stay involved.
Yeah, that's
stay involved.
That's a that's the whole bug. You know, it was a 10-year effort to get it, and I was quoted earlier saying that was the easy part. The 10-year effort to get it, that was the easy part. The hard part is making sure each year that the money roughly that the LaSard Council recommends ends up where it was intended.
All right, game fair, next big event, state fair around the corner. Gary and I are probably going to head home tonight and get our snow throwers ready.
How yeah, get it? That, just
get it tuned
fire
up.
Them up just once in a while, just make sure they're ready to go. Not going to take any chances with spark plugs or anything like that.
I usually wait till the middle of October before I fool around with that.
Oh, well, this spring I had the car wash and the snowblower going.
All right, we got to run. Gary Leaf in for Ron Shera. Live Outdoors back Monday night at 7 on the CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.